probably know someone with a skateboard. Maybe it's a teenager in your life, or you've got an old one laying around in the shed. It's different to any other sport. It's a way of life.
I go skateboarding, my friends go skateboarding, their friends go skateboarding, we go skateboarding. That's kind of what we do. Passion is the only way to describe it, I guess, yeah.
But did you know that skate culture grew right here in Newcastle? And it all started with a bunch of mates in a suburban backyard who had a dream. And it grew so big that even the legend Tony Hawk wanted to skate here. I'm Larice Dixon, and today on Newcastle Cast, how this defining subculture of skateboarding is still thriving today.
I think just kids seeing on TV all these guys like skating at an Olympic level, everyone's like, that's insane, like that's what we want to do, this is so cool.
Do you call it Empire Park or do you call it Bar Beach?
Just Bar Beach Bowl.
Okay, because I was like, I needed to get the lingo right. It's about 3:30 on a Wednesday afternoon and I'm sitting on the edge of Bar Beach Skate Bowl. You could say it's a landmark in Newcastle that has views stretching out across the ocean. It's not my usual scene, but for 21-year-old Marley Ray, he's here every afternoon.
When I was 11, that's when I first started, and it was really because of this place, seeing videos of it. Like, I grew up in Beresfield out near Maitland, so seeing footage of all these people skating this bowl, I'm like, I need to get here like ASAP and start skating it.
Chances are one of the skaters in those videos is Sean Musset. He was skating long before Marley was even born. Down here at Bar Beach Bowl, he goes by a different name. If you wanted to start by introducing yourself.
I don't know what to call myself.
Well, I know you as Gravel Burns. Tell me where that name came from.
Well, it is a funny story. I was in a punk band called Dissection Committee in the 80s. One of my favourite musicians is Jake Burns from Stiff Little Fingers, so I wanted to go with Burns. And my mate goes, well, you're a skateboarder. What about Gravel Burns? That's like part of skateboarding, falling off skateboards. I'm like, yes. That was 1987 probably, and it's just stuck.
Yep, you heard that right. Gravel Burns, aka Sean Musset, is a bit of a local legend in the Newcastle skateboarding scene. He reckons the Bar Beach Bowl is pretty iconic.
This has just been the kind of the cauldron of skateboarding in the last decade. Generally regarded as the best bowl in the country, and a lot of people call it one of the best bowls in the world. It seems ridiculous, but you hurt yourself way less in a 11-foot concrete bowl that's made perfectly than you do on a 4-foot ramp that you built yourself.
Back then, local skaters used their boards to get around town and practice their surfing technique on dry land. They didn't realise what they could do on a board until they saw what guys their age were doing in America.
We came out of a magazine culture where we could only see still photos in magazines, right on the tail end of the California skate park scene. So the guys like Tony Hawk, who were all of the Bones Brigade guys, were all skating vert, and we just didn't have anything like that to skate.
They were frustrated. Gravel and his mates were itching to jump on a board and fly through the air, but there was nowhere for them to do that in Newcastle. So they decided to do a bit of DIY and build their own skate ramp. And it was going to make a statement.
My mate his dad had a concreting business, and we had access to tools and a shed, and so we started building this monstrous ramp in Ridge Street in late 85, early 86. It would have been the most serious vertical terrain on the east coast of Australia at that time, I think.
With some tools, a heap of borrowed timber, and an insane love for skating, 20-year-old Gravel and his mates had built something extraordinary in just 3 months. And so, the legend of the Ridge Street skate ramp was born.
You could be forgiven for thinking it was some sort of biblical setup, because it literally was right on the top point of Ridge Street. So if you stood on the platform on the ramp, you could see over the top of the Beaches Hotel.
Picture a tennis court with 3-metre-tall curves on either side. If you were standing on the top platform, you'd be taller than the treetops and be able to see over most of the roofs on your street. It looked a bit janky, but it worked, and it was one of a kind.
And it was just a flat-out suburban house in Merriweather. A suburban family lived in the suburban house, and there were three boys who surfed who were all mates with my mates, and their dad and mum said, sure, you can build something in our backyard. I don't think they had any inkling that it was going to take up about the same footprint as their house. But yeah, it was a quite an incredible sight, and every single person who walked into that backyard just looked at it in and their jaw dropped and just went, oh my goodness.
It was so good, Gravel dropped out of uni to skate it every single day. Word soon got out about this gigantic wooden skate ramp in a Merriweather backyard. Skaters were coming from around the country to test it out, even as far as New Zealand.
Particularly the Sydney guys, because they were so close, they would come up regularly from Sydney, bring a crew. Literally, it was that good that they would drive up the highway back then, you know, 2.5-3 hours, and skate for the whole weekend, week in, week out.
The Ridge Street ramp was only around for 10 months before it had to be pulled down, but it had created a lasting legacy in the Australian skateboarding scene.
Older kind of guys that looked mainly like they were probably more attached to surfing as a culture, but or people that I kind of knew through that would say, oh, you know, there used to be like a big ramp up near the butcher's shop.
When Jim Turvey got into skateboarding, people were still talking about the Ridge Street skate ramp long after it had been dismantled. Newcastle was now on the map for skating and had just seen the biggest skateboarder in the world drop into town the year before. In a car park on Hunter Street, hundreds of people crowded around a makeshift ramp to watch Tony Hawk show off his tricks. The city was buzzing, and 8-year-old Jim wanted to be part of the action.
So I turned 8 in 1990, and that's when I got my first skateboard. My older cousins lived here in Newcastle, and we kind of moved up to be closer to them, and they skated and surfed. And being from the western suburbs of Sydney, I was not confident at the beach yet. But they had skateboards laying around. And especially the younger of the two cousins was like, he was 6 years older than me. He was like really into street skating at the time, and he part of that scene. And I just wanted to get a skateboard so badly. Obviously pre-social media, you'd hear lots of gossip of things about skateboarding, things that had happened. But no, skateboard, especially in the early 90s, skateboarding was really kind of quite countercultural, considered that.
For Jim, skateboarding was different to the beach and surf culture of the time. It was liberating.
The great thing about skateboarding is that it was a pursuit you could go and do by yourself in a car park behind a building where no one even saw you doing it. So the people that might not have felt comfortable, if they identified as being different in any way, could still get a skateboard and go and do it somewhere, because you didn't need to go to, even though there were skate parks popping up, and still to this day, you don't need a facility to go and do it.
In the 90s and early 2000s, skating was part of an underground culture that was growing in popularity. For local skaters like Jim, the city was their playground. They could go anywhere, just them and their board, and practice their kickflips, ollies and grinds. No one was watching, and they could just be themselves.
People realised that with street skating, it opened up the cities as skate parks. Anything was skatable. As much as I love like the natural environment, that's the beautiful thing about like, you know, urethane and concrete. It's a match made in heaven, and there's no one to tell you how or when or why to do it.
Skaters like Jim Turvey have grown up, but their love for skating has only gotten stronger. He's made a name for himself as a skateboarding historian and archivist, which grew from his passion for collecting skate magazines as a kid. These magazines are a record of culture, and some of the biggest skate magazines started back at that 9-foot ramp on Ridge Street in someone's mum's backyard.
Back then you'd get like secondhand skateboarding magazines from the 80s at Rice's Bookshop or Cook's Hill Book and Records or something. I'd grab them, they'd be 50 cents each or something. So I started grabbing them pretty early on. When you looked at those older magazines, they were still wearing like 80s clothing and tank tops and riding single kickboards. Al Tindall and Sean Mustard, who you've already interviewed, started one of the first, you know, like Australian skateboarding magazines, which kind of came out of that Ridge Street ramp when they kind of came up with the idea, I believe, and that was called Skateboard Australia. But it was kind of one of the first that had really wide distribution.
What started as a homemade skate ramp in a backyard in Merriweather has turned into this concrete bowl here at Bar Beach that's out in the open. It's a permanent part of the Newcastle landscape now. is bustling with kids in their school uniforms, filming their new tricks for Instagram and TikTok. On the edge of the bowl, Gravel Burns is waiting for his turn to drop in.
Like, I've got friends from all over the world who've been here and skated, and their mouth is agape at where this bowl is. It can't be in a more open space, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not sitting behind a shopping centre or stuck behind a swimming pool or something. It's here it is, in front of the whole world. There's like a groundswell that, instead of it sort of dying out with each generation, it's building on each generation, and I think that's been a really big difference.
Old skaters like Gravel Burns are pioneers, but they're modest about it. It's just what they do. They helped bring skateboarding to life in Newcastle. But the best skating is always happening right now, at Bar Beach Bowl. As I'm talking to Jim Turvey, he can't take his eyes off the young skaters and the tricks they're pulling off right in front of us.
The kid that just did the backside air in front of us right now, that looks like he's about 10, is absolutely amazing. Couldn't even imagine a kid doing that when I was his age, yeah. On a ramp this size. For him right now, this is his heyday.
TikToks may have replaced magazines, but the skateboarding community is still around. And friendships are as much a part of the culture than the boards themselves.
I've got skateboarding friends in an age group from 12, 14, 15 through to 65. And that's just so enriching in your life, I think.
I feel like with skating, it's all individual. You can just do it your own way, you've got your own rules, and you don't really need to like rely on anyone else to get like a particular task done. It's just you and the board, pretty much.
For young skaters like Marley Ray, the future is looking bright. The new Newcastle East Skate Park is due to be reopened in a few months, and millions of dollars is being invested into building skate parks across the Hunter. Skateboarding is everywhere.
I think after seeing the skating make its debut in the Olympics, it has boomed in popularity. You know, it's only going to get bigger because the council are being like super generous with us skaters, whether they're building brand new skate parks like the Newcastle Beach Park, or they're making like skate friendly areas like out in the streets for street skaters to skate. Like, you know, they love what we do, and it's really awesome to see.
For Marley and old skaters like Gravel, skateboarding is more than just a hobby or a sport. It's intoxicating. Nothing beats the feeling of skating today and hanging out to skate tomorrow.
It's hard on your body. I've had both hips and both knees replaced, and I did that so I could keep skateboarding, not just so I could walk. And it's a hard thing to do. You can't do it if you're not fully passionate about it. You don't stop skateboarding because you get old. You get old because you stop skateboarding. And I believe that.
As long as I can still walk, I'll be skating.
Might be hobbling a little bit.
Yeah, I might be hobbling, but as long as I'm still walking, like, I'll have a skateboard with me.
Newcastle Cast is produced on a Awabakal country. We'll be back next week with a brand new story. Thanks for listening.